Hello again. How are you? I must applaud you for your stamina. This has been a biblical marathon for me as well as for you. But I really am deeply grateful. Some of you have not even changed your seats. You have remained in the same place. I can see some over here, over there, my brother here. Remain in the same place. That is steadfastness. And I thank you for it. I respect you for it. I love you for it. Let us unite in heart and mind as we enter into this final session, the powerful technique of keeping the Sabbath on Tuesday. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to this last presentation, we ask you, Lord, to grant us your Spirit again, that Spirit of truth. Delight to guide us, to lead us, and to enlighten us. Lord, we ask you to teach us. Teach us what we don't know. And as for me, put words in my mouth, that what I say may be truth, and that your people and I may be blessed. Hear this humble prayer, because we together offer it in Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. As my brother said, at the conclusion of this presentation, there shall be a question and answer period related to the presentations you heard, not to some other unrelated experience, if possible, so that the questions may be in harmony with the presentations. And we shall try to answer them the best we can, as the Lord gives us light and insight. The powerful technique for keeping the Sabbath on Tuesday. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 31. Let us read from verse 12. Exodus chapter 31. We shall begin reading at verse 12. Do we have Exodus 31? Have we found 12? Let us begin reading. Read with me. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Why? For they between for all right. Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. You know, sometimes people use this text to say, well, there are many different Sabbaths. Because the verse says, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. Right after that, the verse goes on to say, For it is a sign. So the expression Sabbath merely means all the Sabbaths that come during the year. Every seventh day, 52 of them. But there's just one Sabbath that recurs every week. So verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, now finish that verse, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that ye may know. You see, there is no guessing between God and the Christian. God wants us to know. Go with me for an example of this. Ephesians chapter 1, we shall begin reading at verse 15. Ephesians 1, reading from verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians is right after Galatians, that's right. Do we have Ephesians 1? Do we have verse 15? Let's read together. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now here's what he's praying for. Keep reading. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. Keep reading. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? Stop. Paul wants us to know what is the hope of his calling, and to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We must know. No guesswork. Now, we cannot know everything, but we must know insofar as the Lord will allow us to know, and we must pursue that knowledge. God wants us to know. John 17:3 tells us, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee. No guessing. We've got to know God as an unmistakable reality in our lives. And so if we sprint all the way back to Exodus 31:12-13, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye might know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. We've got to know God. We've got to know what he does for us. We've got to know. And that knowledge is in the context of the Sabbath. Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between whom? Me and you. The Sabbath is not a sign between God and the rest of the world. You know, I'll be very encouraged if you say amen from time to time. I may even come back. The Sabbath is not a sign between God and the rest of the world. The Sabbath is a sign between God and his people, that's you and me. Which makes us very, very special indeed. It is a sign that we may know that God is the one who sanctifies us. We've got to know, and the Sabbath is the foundation of that knowledge. Verse 17 of Exodus 31, let's go there. Exodus 31, verse 17. And it says what? It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. There's a special relationship between God and his Sabbath-keeping people. Amen. Now it's a sign. All right. When is it a sign? Is my question as we continue with the powerful technique for keeping Sabbath on Tuesday. When is the Sabbath a sign? On what day? Seventh day. Is that all? Is it a sign on Wednesday? Now answer me with courage whether you're right or wrong. Even though you say what's wrong, say it with confidence. People may think you're right. Let me ask the question again. Is the Sabbath a sign on Wednesday? Yes. Every day of the week, the Sabbath is the sign that we are sanctified by God. How is that possible when the Sabbath only comes on the seventh day? How can the Sabbath be a sign on Wednesday? Because we should start the fourth commandment for me. Stop. Stop. Remember. Now, remember when? Every day. You know I like you. I really do. And I like you. You know, I like you. Remember the Sabbath day every day. Amen. Because the sign of your holiness and mine must be carried 7 days a week. Amen. Now, I am hoping with desperation that you're getting my point. I never said Wednesday is holy. Did I say that?
No.
I'll have Brother Newhart replay the tape. I didn't say that. I am saying that the sign that you and I are holy 7 days a week is the seventh day Sabbath. Now, how does the sign function on Wednesday, which is not a holy day? We've got to remember the Sabbath day. Is it seven? 7 days a week.
Amen.
Now, what do we do on Sabbath? Do we watch where we go? Come on, answer me. Yes, we should. Here's an honest brother to my immediate left. We should. Do we watch what we say? We should. Do we watch many other things? We should. Why? Because the day is holy. Are you following me? So if you go back to Isaiah 50:13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, not doing thine own ways, or finding thy own pleasures, or speaking thine own words. We are careful, supposed to be, what we do on Sabbath. Now, the sun will set in a few hours, and don't look so happy. We should be sad when the sun sets on Saturday afternoon. We wave the Sabbath goodbye, and we can't wait to welcome it the next Friday. We must yearn for it. When the sun sets in a few hours, the holy day would have ended. But its role as a sign in our lives must continue into this next day. How is that possible? Remember. Remember the Sabbath. Here comes Sunday, first day of the week. The least favorite day for an Adventist. We hate Sunday. You know, I believe Adventist churches should have church worship on Sunday mornings. That frown vanished off your face immediately. You know why? We go through extraordinary efforts to invite Sunday worshiping brethren to come to church on Sabbath. Don't we do that? You don't do that. We do in Michigan. If you don't in Pennsylvania, we try to invite our Sunday worshiping brethren to church on Sabbath. We try. Wouldn't it be easier to have a service on Sunday morning when it's natural for them to be at church? I'm not telling you cause trouble here with your pastor. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I see no trouble. You see, I grew up in the West Indies where we had Sunday night service every Sunday. It was called evangelistic service. Every Sunday we had service. Because it's easy to invite a Sunday worshiper to church on Sunday. Instead of trying to twist the person's arm to go to church on a day that is funny and strange to him or her. But that's another story. So here comes Sunday in a few hours. The Sabbath is past. The holy day is gone. But we are still holy people. And so the Sabbath on my mind on Sunday reminds me that I have been set aside by God for a holy use 7 days a week. It is a sign that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. God sanctifies us 7 days a week, and the sign of that is the Sabbath. So when the Sabbath, the chronological Sabbath, passes in a few hours, the spiritual reality of the Sabbath remains in my heart. And so I carry the Sabbath with me all during the week. It is my reminder that while I guard my behavior on Sabbath, between sunset on Friday and sunset on Saturday, I watch what I say, I watch what I do, I watch where I go during the week. I am similarly committed and commanded and required to watch what I do and to watch what I say and to watch where I go.
Amen.
I don't just break out on sunset Saturday night and go wherever I want and say what I want and eat what I please. No. I am still holy, and the sign should be with me. I am a Sabbath keeper.
Amen.
The question becomes, how does a Sabbath keeper behave on Tuesday? As a holy person. As a holy person.
Amen.
Because you're holy.
Amen.
How does a Sabbath keeper behave on Thursday?
as a holy person. Because we're holy.
This business of escaping from the Sabbath when it sets has to stop. Am I too rough on you?
No, brother.
Can you take it?
Yeah.
You look though. Oh, I tell you, I'm going to miss you when I get on that plane tomorrow. But I have grown myself. We are Sabbath keepers 7 days a week. You want to say it differently? How many days a week are you a Seventh-day Adventist? 7 days a week. What does Seventh-day Adventist mean? You're a Sabbath keeper and you're expecting... How many days a week?
7 days.
Are we holy people? How often?
7 days
a week. What's the sign? The Sabbath. When the sun sets tonight, does the Sabbath set in your heart? No. Now, here's how the Sabbath keeps me during the week. I'm in the supermarket, coming down the aisle with a cart whose wheels don't work. They never work. And that's always the one you pick. And you're coming down the aisle, and you pass by that shrimp. Lobster, still alive. And you remember the Sabbath day is a sign that you're holy. You with me? A holy person doesn't eat certain things. So you push on by. I'm a holy person. It is Thursday night. You drive down the entertainment district of Harrisburg. All the neon lights flashing, the theaters, the strip bars, and the whatever they are. And you pause and you consider which one. And then you remember, I'm a holy person. I'm a Sabbath keeper. I've got to watch my behavior 7 days a week. And you keep on driving. And you thank God that He gave you a reminder and a sign that functions all during the week. Shouldn't even slow down. You walk by that bookstore and you want to pick up some silly romance novel that weakens your mind and makes it difficult to understand the writings of Ellen White and the Bible. And you remember, I am a holy person. And certain things should not enter my mind. And you leave it alone and you head straight for the ABC. American cassette, you call a brother Newhart and you order 100 tapes. Because I am a Sabbath keeper during the week. Even though the chronological Sabbath has passed, my condition as a holy person never passes.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes.
Well, say amen.
Amen.
You're on the job. Someone is getting on your nerves. Getting on nerves you never knew you had. What do? You pray about it. Why? I'm a holy person, and holy people behave like whom?
Jesus.
Why did you have to think about it? Holy people behave like Jesus? Why do you look so surprised? You really do. Holy people behave like Jesus. Holy people behave like God. Holy people are led and driven by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We cannot escape our status as holy people. Why? Because God has placed a sign upon us. Now, on Sabbath, which is today, a few hours remaining, people see us in church, they see the cars, and they say, oh, these people are at church. They go to church on Saturday. They don't see any cars on Tuesday or Thursday, and maybe just 2-3 cars on Wednesday. So they suspect, well, those are the janitors, and nothing's going on. Nothing's going on. So they come to church only Saturday morning for 3 hours, and the building is closed for the rest of the week. Now, so it's a witness on Saturday. They see you. How is your Sabbath keeping a witness on Tuesday? It has to be. Because the sign is the same. Your holy living on Tuesday is a witness to your holiness as a child of God.
Amen.
So that all that you do is guarded and chosen carefully, regardless of the day, because you are holy. And I must keep saying that until the look of surprise leaves your faces. What did you think you were?
I guess we wondered at times.
We are holy. A royal priesthood.
Amen.
A peculiar people. A holy nation. All those words Peter uses to say you must be obviously distinct from the rest of the world.
Amen.
In every aspect of life. On the job, in the home, at the church, in the playground.
Yes.
Different. So when the Bible says remember the Sabbath, it means exactly that. Don't ever forget it.
Amen.
Any day of the week or the month. Now, let's elevate remember the Sabbath to another level. In everything we do, whenever we're about to make some decision that may affect our lives, we should remember the Sabbath.
Amen.
Let's say you're on the internet, you go to one of those job sites that advertise positions. There's a position open in Wyoming, the middle of the state. $10,000 more a month. You know, bonuses, a month, yes, a month. Bonuses and health care and dental care and vision care and everything else you need. But there's no Adventist church there. Not for 300 miles. No Adventist church? Okay. Here comes a brother with money on his mind. Start one. So the question, what I'm saying is, the question we ask is, how will this affect my Sabbath observance? We must ask that question with every decision we have to make. Oh, I want to stay where I am, but get a promotion. Longer hours, more stress, more demands, more weekend calls, whatever it is. As you consider a decision, remember the Sabbath. Will this affect my Sabbath observance?
Amen.
Will this affect my special time with God when I get back into my place and I see more clearly His rightful place in my life? Will my Sabbath observance be affected? My brothers and my sisters, there's a reason why this commandment is the most important of all. And it must affect, dominate, influence, and color every aspect of our lives. Remember the Sabbath. And so I am a Sabbath keeper on Tuesday. Because my behavior on Tuesday is affected by the sign I carry. And that is a sign of holiness. And it affects the choices I make. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I am holy. Then on Sabbath, I rejoice with my Savior as I look back on the victories over the week.
Amen.
When that sign kept me from one temptation after another. From one bad decision after another. When that sign sustained me, I rejoice on Sabbath.
Amen.
When the sign meets the actual day And so to sign that holy day, and you and I, that's those holy persons, we come together to worship a holy God, a holy people on a holy day. You see, on Monday, it's a holy God, a holy people on a secular day. On Thursday, it's a holy God, a holy people on a secular day. On Sabbath, it's a holy God, a holy people, and a holy day.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for the Sabbath.
Amen.
From the bottom of my heart. And the more we appreciate the Sabbath, the more we will want to advertise the blessings of the Sabbath to those who are in error.
Amen.
Missing the blessings of the Sabbath. A blessed day blesses those who observe it. And so the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. The day may pass chronologically, but it never passes from my heart. And so the God of the Sabbath is with me 7 days a week.
Amen.
The God of the Sabbath talks to me during the week and influences my behavior. That holy Sabbath day is with me as a sign. It is a sign that is never pulled down or hidden or removed. It is up and cleaned and flashing to the world 7 days a week. We must understand when God said it's a sign, He didn't mean it's a sign 1 day a week. It is a sign 7 days a week.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, when we live holy lives during the week, people notice.
Yes.
A holy life invites notice. Also a wild life, don't get me wrong. But a holy life, you see, the way righteousness works, it is impossible for righteousness to be present and the world not respond. Some of you missed it. Let me try it again.
Amen.
Then a whole lot of missing today. Wherever righteousness pops up its head, the world pops up its head.
Amen.
Yes. It was that way from the beginning. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Let's read verses 11 and 12. And see what I'm trying to say. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. What does that say? 1 John is all the way in the back of the New Testament. Do we have it?
Amen.
Read with me. What does it say? For this is the commandment or the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should what? Love one another. Go on. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Now, listen to the rest of that verse. Go on. And wherefore slew he him? And here's the answer. Because? And his brothers? Yes. All evil needs to get upset with you is for you to be right. Have you ever wondered why the Gospels contain so many examples or incidents of demon possession and demon exorcism? Because when Jesus set foot on this earth, the earth had never seen such a holy life. And wherever he went, demons just cried out. A demon cannot be quiet in the presence of Christ. And when we are like Christ, the same thing will happen. In this end time, most of the demons, of course, will have flesh and blood. And they will cry out in opposition to our presence, because righteousness exposes unrighteousness without even setting out to try it. Christ walked into a synagogue and the demons cried out. They were uncomfortable in his presence. What I'm saying to you is, when we wear that sign of holiness during the week, we will get reactions and responses. We don't wear the sign to get a reaction. We wear it because God says wear it. But a holy life always generates a response. Either you're harassed, or someone wants to know, how can I live that life too? And so I offer to you the powerful technique for keeping the Sabbath on Tuesday And that is simply to remember it. Remember it 7 days a week.
Amen.
Try it this week. Try it. Remember every day. Wake up and remember, this is not a Sabbath, but I'm a Sabbath keeper.
Amen.
Remember that. And as you're about to go for lunch, and your choice is between Wendy's, Arby's, and Wendy's cousin, remember, I am a Sabbath keeper.
Amen.
When work is over, and you want to come your part and rest a while and have some entertainment, remember, I am a Sabbath keeper.
Right.
So I'm going to drive right by Blockbusters because they don't have a Christian section. Remember it this week. God will bless you. As you do your schoolwork, remember your Sabbath keeper. And your work must be done well. No procrastination. As you're on the job, your Sabbath keeper, you work like your creator, whatever you do is well done. Very good. As you take care of your children, you're a Sabbath keeper, and you provide for them as God provided for us, His children. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Love it. Treasure it. View it as something of the highest value. For that day has the life of God in it. It has the presence of God in it. In a way the other days don't have. God shows up in our lives, yes, on Wednesdays. But God is in the very Sabbath day. His life, His presence, His glory, His brightness, His sacredness is in that day. Ellen White tells us the law is as sacred as God Himself. If that is the case, and the Sabbath is part of the Sabbath is as sacred as God Himself.
Amen.
Let that sacredness influence us on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, Wednesday, and Sunday. Many years ago, I was coming home. It was late at night, not late, but dark. The moon was behind some clouds. And I was about, 12, 13, coming up with some little boys. We were coming up the hill and acting crazy. And as I looked up, I saw my mother coming down the hill. Now, where I grew up, and at the times that I grew up, there's no such thing as putting a parent in jail for spanking a child. That didn't exist.
That's right.
Still doesn't exist now down there. No such thing suing your parents, no. When I looked up and saw my mother, I froze. Scared stiff. Because I was acting up. And I stopped, put on my halo, and tried to look saintly. But it didn't work. Because I wasn't. And of course, you can guess the rest. The Sabbath goes with us during the week.
Amen.
Not to scare us, but to remind us.
Yes.
That's all. To remind us that 7 days a week, we are in the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
And God requires of us holy living. So may the good Lord bless you and me as we live Sabbath-keeping lives 7 days a week.
Amen.
Do you want that?
Yes, sir.
I want it. 7 days a week. And I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you in ways He has not blessed you yet, because His promise is, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Then he almost swears an oath when he says, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And when you read that phrase, what God is saying is, look, take this to any bank you like, and you can cash it. You honor my Sabbath, and I'll honor you. May God bless us as we honor His Sabbath, as we live Sabbath-keeping lives 7 days a week. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank You for the Sabbath. We thank You that our Savior Jesus is Lord also of the Sabbath. We thank You that, God, You chose the Sabbath as a sign that You sanctify us. I say again, dear God, You sanctify us. We cannot sanctify ourselves. But Father, in faith we reach out and accept that sanctification. Lord, let us understand every day that we are a different people. We must dress differently. We must speak differently. We must eat differently. We must work differently. We must play differently. We must socialize differently. Everything must be stamped with the brand of holiness. Because there's a way for a holy person to play, a way for a holy person to eat, a way for a holy person to work. Give us that Sabbath holiness mindset all during the week. Lord, bless this church, bless the pastor, the leadership, bless American Cassette Ministries, bless all those around the world lifting up their voices to proclaim the third angel's message. Father, give strength and conviction to their delivery. And may many hearts here be changed as a result of this week's presentations. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Please hear with me, amen. And amen. Now, I believe there are some questions. There's someone who will have a microphone of some sort. Where is that person? All right, my good brother who has led out all the singing, he will have a moving mic and you will ask me some easy questions and I will try to answer them as quickly as I can. All right, we have a question right up front, right here. So what I'll do, I'll let you ask the question into this.
As you know, when schools in our academies, the people there plus the students have to be there 7 days a week because they have to be fed. How does the Lord look at that? They're violating the Sabbath, are they not?
That they have to do what on Sabbath?
Work in the kitchen. The people working, who's in charge, plus they have the students working in the kitchen.
All right. The law of God does not change with circumstances. In Exodus 16, when God sent the manna, He said, "Bake that ye shall bake, and seethe that which ye shall seethe on the sixth day." We have to find a system to provide food and have it ready on the sixth day. The Bible does not endorse cooking on the Sabbath. It is as simple as that. And the fact that it happens in an Adventist academy or college or university or hospital does not change the fact that our cooking and our seething must be done on Friday. One of our problems is, because Ellen White says our best meal should be on Sabbath, we think it means our biggest and our most lavish. But a Sabbath is a good day to fast. It's a good day to eat light. A quick sandwich that requires very little work prepared the day before. We must not engage in activities on Sabbath that are forbidden by Scripture, regardless of where we are. So the fact that it happens in a school that's Adventist by name does not change God's standard. All right, my good brother.
Yes, I was curious personally, how many Bible texts do you actually have memorized, and what is your practice of Scripture memorization?
All right. How many Bible texts? I have not counted them, and I don't intend to count them. There's some things you shouldn't know. I love to memorize Bible passages. I do it virtually every day. I have a personal goal of memorizing the first 25 chapters of Genesis, which record creation up to the Tower of Babel and then the call of Abraham. And Abraham dies in Genesis 25. So that's my goal. I have reached Genesis 21, so I should get a 25 fairly soon. And the reason why I do it, I believe we're in the last days. And if I am running with a group of Adventists who don't have a Bible, I'd like to produce some scripture in that cave where we worship from my head. Because some of us may have to run suddenly to the mountains or wherever we run. And the group I am with, I want them to have quite a bit of scripture that can be quoted and said so that the Word of God is with us. And of course, I just like doing it. It gives me great freedom when I speak. And I also pray when I preach that some young person will be inspired to do the same thing. Because as a little boy, there was an elder in my church. He was called Elder Payne. He was sick for 12 years, flat on his back. And he said, during those 12 years, all he read was the Bible. And when the man was raised by God, I was a little fellow, 13 years old, sitting in church. I've never seen him. I never saw him preach a sermon and open the Bible. Never. And I sat there as a little fellow, and I said, how does he do that? Text after text. Never once. Now, he had the Bible, but he never opened it. He never knew how it affected me. I mean, that's decades ago. And so I said, you know, I'd love to do that. And I've always had this lifelong fascination with memorizing passages. So that's the short response. I think you have 150 memorized, is that right? 125 something. Well, one a day at my church, we try to memorize a text every Sabbath. And on Sabbath morning, the church has to say it. Right now, we're memorizing the Ten Commandments. All Adventists know them by heart. So the church, every Sabbath, I take them through the Ten Commandments, and I insist that they know it. Then I take them from one commandment, what's the sixth, what's the ninth, what's the eighth, what's the first, and they have to know them like that. The Ten Commandments are God's covenant between us and his, between him and his people. We must know them. Amen. All right, next question. Yes, my sister. What is your question?
When I grew up a Seventh-day Adventist, and yes. When I started my business, I went to the company and wrote out a contract, mm-hmm. and they wanted me to work on Sabbath.
All right.
And I said that I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, why don't you get someone else to work for you, mm-hmm. and you can pay them? And mm-hmm. I said, well, you see, I can't do that either.
That's right.
However, I am now in a church mm-hmm. that pays an organist mm-hmm. to play for us mm-hmm. on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath, okay.
We feel, some of us, that this is wrong. Can you
okay.
give us some light on this issue?
Throw some light or throw some gasoline? Which would you like me to throw? All right. Well, let me try to throw some light that is not flammable. The Bible says we should not work on Sabbath. Amen. It's as simple as that. Even if you're playing the organ for service, we should not, and I extend that to any form of work. Now, the Bible says it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. People are not paid to do good. As a matter of fact, Paul says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. So the good we're talking about is something that only Jesus can help me do. We should not work. We have to come to the place where we take God seriously. And we stop working on the edges of his commandments. And trying to nickel and dime the Lord with our obedience. Don't work, don't work. And that's it. We make the Bible too difficult. The Bible says, in it thou shalt not do. Explain to me what's so hard about the word any. Next question. I don't tell the pastor I said that. Next question. What do I recommend with the hospitals, nurses, and doctors? I recommend the same thing. You should not work on Sabbath. I didn't say you can't go into the hospital and do some good. Well, Seventh Adventist hospitals, our hospitals, to a large degree, are run like the world. And I don't know how much control the church really has over our hospitals. Our schools, to some degree, are run like the world. But in a Seventh-day Adventist-controlled and run institution, not one just has Adventists on the wall, one controlled and run by the institution, there should be no work in that place on the Sabbath day. But there should be a lot of good being done. A lot of good. Taking care of the sick is a good thing to do on the Sabbath or on Wednesday. But there should be no work. It requires a change of our mentality. Now, I'm a counselor for a medical school, and I get paid to talk to people. I get paid. Now, if someone comes to me on Sabbath and says, Brother Randy, can I talk to you? I've got a problem. Which happens all the time. What do? Make out an invoice? That's no longer work. That is responding, in my mind, to the need of a soul. I don't work on Sabbath. I don't care who I counsel. It's not work in my mind. It's doing good. A doctor can go to the hospital and spend 15 hours doing good. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. But he said it's lawful to do good. He never said it's lawful to work. We must be strict in our obedience.
Amen.
No, I believe the absence of strict obedience to God has held God back from really performing miracles for us.
Amen.
It has held him back. God will not perform miracles for unstable people. He won't do it. But when we become like the three Hebrew boys, the Lord can deliver us. But if he doesn't, we don't care. We're not bowing. Then God will perform miracles that will blow our minds. Let's be strict. No work means no work. Next question. Right over here, my brother. Okay, right here. Okay, hold on, my brother. Here comes the mic for you. We don't want to miss the essence of your statement. All right, yes. Question.
I'm still talking about the hospitals.
Yes.
Sometimes patients need attention
yes.
every hour.
Yes.
Now, what are you saying then that the hospital workers, I'm just saying hospital workers,
uh-huh.
the doctors and nurses should donate their time
yes.
for that day?
Exactly what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Exactly what I'm yes. saying. And donate it with a smile. Because God wants to see the heart of the donation, of the donor, not the actual thing, the heart. Yes, donate it. I don't mean to sound upset. I'm just worked up. Yes. Donate your time. How do you lose by donating to God? Donate your time. Seek ye first. Do it for nothing. Do some good. Who paid Jesus for being healed? Nobody. He did it. They all died later on. They're all dead. Everybody Jesus healed is dead. But he did it nonetheless. Donate our time. Yes. I believe, and I want to be careful, I believe I read in Ellen White somewhere, I believe, I may have to call the E.G. White estate, that when doctors work on the Sabbath, they should give their money to the church. I believe I read that somewhere. Because it's not work. And we need to be strict. All right. Yes, my good brother.
I have a question. I'd like to know what you think about at camp meetings.
Yes.
Usually they say that when people come and visit there, the cafeteria is open. They do not
mm-hmm.
want to collect money.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they let you buy a ticket in advance and you give the ticket. And so my question is, what's the difference in God's eye between a cardboard, piece of cardboard ticket and a dollar bill?
Well, that's a good question. That's why the law is only effective in our hearts when the spirit of the law is our emphasis. We can always argue the letter of the law. But a heart that is surrendered to Jesus Christ will do what's right, and will do what's right all the way down the line. If we're not supposed to buy food on Sabbath, we don't buy food on Sabbath. Whether you pay with a dollar bill or you pay with a piece of paper, there's no exchanging goods on the Sabbath. You give me some turkey links, and I give you a piece of paper. Can I have the turkey links without giving you the piece of paper? No. You're buying it. You know, sometimes we say, well, I can't watch this thing on Friday night. Let me use my VCR and record it. You know, we're always getting around God because the heart is not there. Do you know what Ellen White says? There's a Bible which is called with Ellen White quotations. You know what I'm talking about? Go to what she says on Matthew 5, 23, 24. She says, the books of heaven record the sins we would have committed if we had the opportunity. Oh, you didn't hear that. You go to the quotation from Ellen White on Matthew 5, 23 and 24. She says, record the books of heaven record the sins we would have committed if we had the opportunity.
Amen.
So if I could have watched that show on Friday, I would have. You think a VCR washes away my sins? I know they're very sophisticated now, but they don't do that. Is there another easy question? Yes, sister.
Back to camp meeting.
Yes.
We're talking about the ticket that you bought for lunch for Sabbath on Thursday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you still saying that ticket is still money being paid?
What does the ticket represent?
A paid ticket for that lunch which you bought a few days before.
Yes, but what does it represent? Can you have the lunch without that ticket?
That's $6.50.
No, that is money.
You can. It's money.
Then that's a no-no.
It's money. Sister, let me ask you this. If the IRS estimates my wealth, do they only count cash?
No.
No. What do they count? Everything. They count this. They count everything if they're estimating your wealth. Everything. I tell you, I'm happy for these questions because they bring to light a tremendous struggle between the letter of the law. There should be no struggle, really. There should be none.
So why isn't something done about it?
Well, that's one question I can't answer, and I'm so glad I can. All right, right over here.
What about potluck dinners on Sabbath where everybody's like overeating and we mm-hmm. get all these yummy, mm-hmm. and then everybody wants to know when's the desserts coming out?
Yes, 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 sister. Well, are these problems here or problems you heard about from Colorado? I am not sure, but overeating vegetarian food is as bad as overeating the stuff we have left behind. One of the fruits of the Spirit, say them with me, for the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It doesn't make any difference whether you eat vegetarian food or not. Temperance. Ellen White says, and again I have to say, I've read it somewhere, that sugar may be worse than meat. No one eats more pies and cakes than Adventists. Ice cream, pies, cakes, upside down cake and right side up cake and all kinds of... We love sweet stuff. Well, let's hope not. Mad cow or mad sheep, let's hope not. But we love sweet stuff. I have no sense, but I heard that cancer cells thrive in a sugar environment. They thrive in a sugar. Sugar suppresses the immune system in a hurry. We must avoid sugar like the plague. So we may pride ourselves on not eating beef and lizards and whatever else people eat, but then we go kill ourselves on sugar. We want to die by a gunshot wound or lethal injection, we pick our form of death. Our eating should be different, absolutely.
Refined sugar also is whitened by bone meal, so it has animal product in it.
The more refined the food product is, the worse it is. All right, I saw a hand to my right, then I'll come right here to my good brother. Yes, my dear brother, what's your question?
Yes, we pay our minister's salary.
Yes, we do.
And is it true or is it not true that part of the salary is what they render on Sabbath day to the congregation?
Okay.
But I heard also that they do that out of love.
All right.
Christ, and they were not paid for that.
Mm-hmm.
On the same token then, for that same salary that they are paid for as a whole,
yes.
Is it or is it not part of what they do on Sabbath? That they are paid for, and if it's so,
mm-hmm.
if they are paid for that, do they donate that part back to the church?
Okay. That's what the servant of the Lord says. Well, she talks about doctors now. But let me get to pastors. The fourth commandment does not change for pastors. Either we accept it or we don't. The commandment says, what is the job of a pastor? Let me ask you that. What's the job of a pastor? Pastor, what does it include? Give me some details. Feeding of the flock, preaching sermons, talking to people, advising people, counseling people, visitation, running the church board, whatever. All these things, the work of a pastor. And he or she is paid for that. The Bible says, in it thou shalt not do any work. If the doctor can donate his money for working on Sabbath or for being in a hospital on Sabbath, so can the preacher. We must not work on Sabbath. Why is that so hard to understand? We must not work on the Sabbath. We must do good on the Sabbath. We must not work. Now, I don't want your pastor to send me a letter bomb. You're asking me these difficult questions, but I have to be honest. We must not work on the Sabbath. The example of God is clear. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from his work. Go on.
Going with that question, I have heard from a well-known Adventist that pastors get paid Monday through Friday, and they do what they enjoy doing on the Sabbath, which is preaching. He doesn't actually have to preach if he doesn't want to. He can have lay preachmen or elders or whoever.
I don't know if that's official, but if that's the arrangement, I like it. But I would include Sunday, not just Monday through Friday. Sunday through Friday. People have needs spiritually on Sunday, although the pastor needs time for himself and his family, don't get me wrong. But a spiritual leader is a different kind of work. You're really on duty 24 hours a day. You really are. So if he spares or she Sunday through Friday, no problem. But the commandment says, in it thou shalt not do any work, including homework. Including homework, I said. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Including homework. Is there another question? My brother, you had a question here, didn't you?
There's one back here.
I just want to comment on what we're talking about, working on Sabbath. If God, that created us, had put aside a day and he rested, what makes us think that we have to sugarcoat, go all the way around it? When he rested, why can't we? And keep it holy.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to do today, too, is I want to thank the Lord so much that he brought you here.
Thank you. God bless you. I have been blessed to be here. I really have. And I say that from my heart. You're quite welcome, my brother. The honor is all mine. My brother, yes, go right ahead.
My question is, well, first,
yes,
the fourth commandment says we shall work 6 days.
6 days, that's
and
right.
Seven is
yes,
the day of rest.
That's right.
Now, most of us don't work 6 days.
All right.
We
work
we
five.
We take Sunday as a holiday.
Uh-huh.
You want to comment on that?
Well, yes, I can comment very easily. Now, the Bible even says don't work, work 6 days. All 6 days don't have to be spent in the office. There's a lot of work we do at home that we don't do on Sabbath. I don't mow my lawn on Sabbath. I don't water it on Sabbath. I don't clean the basement on Sabbath. I don't paint the walls on Sabbath. I don't clean out the eaves from leaves on Sabbath. I don't do a lot of things on Sabbath around the house. So while I'm not in the office on Sunday, there's work I do on Sunday. So we ought to be busy and occupied 6 days a week working, and busily occupied resting on the Sabbath. We ought to be busy 6 days a week. Yes, my sister. Or my brother, who is it?
Okay. I like for you to compare this.
Yes. Okay.
I understand about the pastors. I think I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But compared with what Jesus did on the Sabbath.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get a better understanding of what
What did Jesus do on the Sabbath?
He went in the synagogue and stood up to preach.
And he preached. Now who paid him? No one did.
Oh, we talking about pay rate.
Yeah, no one did.
I was thinking about the way you were saying it.
Uh-huh.
The work for the pastor on Sabbath
is
his work. But there are a lot of things that is done on the Sabbath from the pastor he doesn't have to do. But as far as getting in the pulpit, you're not saying anything about that.
Oh, the pulpit is a great place to be.
He's doing good on the Sabbath.
He's doing good on the Sabbath, yes.
I want to understand.
Yes, he is.
I can explain.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Okay,
or
I
she
think,
or
I
they,
think,
yes.
I think
yes, yes, my dear sister, yes.
I'm back again.
All right, my brother.
I think about the time before Christ came to this earth and sacrificed his life for us.
Mm-hmm.
They had sanctuary services.
Yes.
Those ministers or priests, they were given money to the synagogue for the upkeep and of the synagogue and for their abilities that they did in the synagogue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Well, the Levites, if you're referring to them, were set aside for the work of the temple. They were given no inheritance, no land. Their work was to take care of the temple, and so God arranged for the other tribes to give them the tithes and the offerings, which was to keep up the Levites and the work of the tabernacle, yes. It doesn't say they worked on Sabbath.
But now we have ministers today who are visiting from church to church on Sabbath. And if I'm right, I think I'm right, they get a certain fee for that. From the conference, you know, they pay them.
A fee. I'm not familiar with that fee.
Well, it's a fee, isn't it?
A fee for going from church to church on Sabbath. Yes.
I think what they are supposed to be offered is traveling expenses.
I see.
The treasure. It's given, but it's supposed to be. For instance, let's say he's coming from the conference and going down in Washington.
Okay.
He's supposed to be getting a travel fee.
Mm-hmm.
The church has the say-so how much it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the congregation sometimes get, he's been paid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I know how that goes. Mm-hmm. He's a treasure. But he's not supposed to be been paid a salary.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conference paying the salary. What the church gives him, traveling expenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the kind of pastoral work I do is volunteer. I'm not paid because I have another job, so I'm not paid. It gives me that freedom. So I'm not familiar with what you're paid for and what you're not because I have never inquired. All I can stand on is that there's no payment on God's holy day.
Amen.
That's where I stand. You don't pay people on the Sabbath. You don't do that. That's why we ought to take care of business very carefully during the week so we're not caught in that situation on Sabbath. Yes, my brother.
I have two questions, and actually the first one is on what we're talking about now. Are we sugarcoating it when we say, well, it's not payment, it's a donation?
Possibly. And I don't want to judge, but possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. And the second question?
The second question is, now I'm a newly converted to
all right. this Bible. Okay.
And I've been studying, and I just read from the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a statement said to me that, if I do not read Ellen White's writings, then I could be lost.
Someone told you that?
Yes, and I wanted to find out, is this...
An Adventist standard?
Yes.
Okay. No. No. You can read the Bible and be lost. Are you with me?
Amen.
The devil knows the Bible well. I'll explain that. Don't be shocked, please. You can read the Bible and be lost. Reading the Bible is one thing. Studying it is something else. Applying it to the heart is something else. When you apply God's word to your heart, you become like Him. The Pharisees knew the scriptures up and down. What did Jesus say about them? So it's not, okay, vipers. It's not just reading the Bible as we read the Wall Street Journal. It is studying to find out God's will for my life, and having discovered that will, I surrender to that will. This is the Bible study that saves. Now, as far as not reading Ellen White sends you to hell, no. Ellen White herself says that her writing should not be a test of fellowship. But the Seventh-day Adventist Church regards Ellen White as having had in a special way the prophetic gift, which is mentioned in Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. And we believe that God gave her special insight for this church, to guide this church and protect this church. And I believe a sincere convert to this church will be impressed by God with respect to her writings. You just need to read a little of her writings, and something happens to your heart.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, start with Desire of Ages.
I was going to say, if I can, since I gave the testimony earlier today, when I came in, Ellen White was one of my pet peeves, can I call it that?
Yes.
Because
yes.
It was one thing I wasn't told when I came in. But I can say, from if you were here for my testimony, that I've read so much of her material now, and it is a blessing to read. And if you truly understand the spirit of the Bible, you will see it manifested in the writings of Ellen White. And if there's any errors that you hold in the Bible, that she not only says what's right, but she gives plenty of Bible documentation to substantiate that claim of the way she was shown it.
All right. I thank God for Ellen White.
Amen.
And I want to say publicly, I thank God for Ellen White. And one of the problems with our church today is a growing disregard for the writings of Ellen White.
Yes.
Other people take what she write or she wrote and they use it to their benefit. And we, to whom it belongs naturally, we set it aside. Please, in addition to your Bible study, which is always first, find time to read the writings of Ellen White. If you're a parent, read Child Guidance, depending on the age of your child. Read Adventist Home. Read Messages to Young People. Letters to Young Lovers. If you're concerned about your health, read Ministry of Healing, Counsels and Diets and Foods. If you're concerned about world events, read Patriarchs and Prophets, Prophets and Kings, Desire of Ages, Acts of the Apostles, Great Controversy. You're concerned with Ellen White's Counsels to the Church, read Testimonies to the Church. Read Selected Messages. You're concerned about the mind, read Mind, Personality and Character, I think it is. Tremendous. You're concerned about, you want some devotional reading without going to Guidepost or whatever else they have. Then you read Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings. You read Christ Object Lessons. And of course, for me, if there were no Bible, I'd want two books. Desire of Ages and Steps to Christ. Next question. Way in the back. So if you can run back before the sun sets, we can take that question and include it on the tape. Here we go, my sister. Go ahead.
Actually, it's a brief testimony.
Yes.
I recently got baptized into the Remnant Church.
Good.
In April. And when I come in, it baffles me because I was in confusion, or Babylon, mm-hmm. so to speak,
mm-hmm.
coming to Sabbath is a treat for me. In fact,
yes.
this Friday morning, I neglected to put my preschool child on the van because mm-hmm. I was like, it's Friday morning. I'm like, yes, Sabbath's coming.
Yes.
I totally forgot he had to go to preschool.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
laid in bed because we had been in vacation Bible school all week and he was tired and the routine was off. So I got up. I'm like, I got to do my Sabbath school lessons. I'm going to be prepared this week. And I was engaged in my Bible and Sabbath school lesson. A horn beeped outside. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know who's beeping that horn, but I don't care. I'm doing my Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went to take care of some business for getting prepared for Sabbath, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That was for your kid. And I'm like, praise God, at least I know where my priorities are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then later, after, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm speaking into this microphone,
all
but
right.
I'm just so thankful and so blessed because
mm-hmm.
I'm so happy when Sabbath comes.
Amen.
And I understand, even though I'm just new, I understand that God is changing my life. There's so
mm-hmm.
many miracles going
mm-hmm.
on in my
mm-hmm.
family's life, and it's because we started coming on Sabbath. I mean, unfortunately, right now, my family is not in the Remnant Church, but
okay.
I have the hope that they will be.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Let me just say to us, as I reflect on the kinds of questions you've asked me, it would be good for all of us to renew our commitment to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why. The Holy Spirit in me will connect with the Holy Spirit in you because it's the, or He is the same Spirit.
Amen.
And we must get to the place the spirit of the law dominates our minds. For the Bible tells us the spirit giveth life, but the letter killeth. And if we truly surrender the heart and the mind and the thinking to the control of Jesus Christ, we will receive leadings and directions and insight that will guide us with great reliability. And we will develop a strange oneness among ourselves, which is required before Jesus comes. The unity of the faith. But law observance, commandment keeping, is not a task. It is merely the lifestyle of a saved person. So it comes from the heart. And anything that looks like it may affect my commandment keeping, I avoid it. When I was counseling boys at a residence, boys who were supposedly incorrigible, I had a rule. When in doubt, don't do it. Next question. And we need to wrap it up very quickly. But we have one here and my brother here again. Yes.
Yes, I was. Would it be safe to say that
how we can decipher between what the difference between work and goodness is that of which we work was described as God's creation, something He physically had done, and goodness would probably be something that would sustain that work. Would it be safe to say that if goodness would be somewhat like sustaining?
Goodness is something like sustaining. I am not sure I fully comprehend, I think it's Brother Michael, what you're trying to say. Could you try to reword it? Because I don't think I got it.
Yes. Maybe it's...
Well, think about it. Let me grab my brother here, his question, and we try to come back if you've made it more clear in your mind. Or we can talk right after we conclude here. But I'd like to hear what's on your mind. Okay, let's make this the last question, I think. Okay, one over here.
Because this is coming back to the prepayment of things that are rendered anyway on Sabbath day. Like, for instance, periodically, we do have speakers that we pay their accommodation, hotels, before Sabbath. What would be the difference between that and also preparing their meals on Sabbath, which in then induce other people to work for them on Sabbath?
What is the difference between paying for someone's accommodation? In the church? By having you stay in a hotel. All right, so you're saying if a minister is accommodated in a hotel because he's at a church for the weekend, then other people must work to take care of him.
Right. And
all right, okay. All these intricacies, all right. Well, all I can say is, if ever you invite me, put me in your home. I'm dead serious. I'm not joking. Put me in someone's home. Don't put me in a hotel. Now, that's for me. I don't want to pass judgment on the entire pastoral staff in the United States. If you invite me to speak at your church, put me in somebody's house that has a roof, and that's all I ask for. And then all of that is taken care of.
Amen.
Put me in someone's house. Last year, I went to Uganda to preach for the camp meeting, and they said, "Well, Elder, would you like to stay in a hotel?" I said, "For what?" Find an Adventist and put me in that person's house. So I'm not alone on Friday night in a hotel room. I'm fellowshipping with brethren, surrounded by people who presumably pray. Don't put me in a hotel. Put me with Christians. Let's bow our heads. Dear loving Father, we come to you one more time today as a family of believers to recommit our lives into your hands. Father, we have so many questions that deal with so many details, but it could be all these things could be worked out if we are of one heart and of one mind and truly surrendered to your will in every area of our lives. Lord, I pray that you would make us Sabbath keepers 7 days a week. Help us to remember that the sign of our holiness must be displayed 7 days a week. Bless every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every father, every mother, every husband, every wife, every uncle and aunt, grandfather, grandmother. Lay your hand upon us, we pray, dear God, and may we feel your presence in our lives like an electrical current. Use us to lead many in this city to Christ, and bind us in heart and mind, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let everyone say with me, amen and amen. God bless you. I shall slip back for a couple of minutes, then I shall be down front to say hi.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.